This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We got a lot of stuff here at Trader Bills we're going to tell you about. We got baseball with a doubleheader today. We got basketball playing Ole Miss this weekend. Spring football begins today. We got a loaded up show.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you're in this time of year and you get into the weekend. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be making the trip up to Fayetteville, not only for the baseball series, but the basketball game. Because it seems like, you know, when it happened this way a couple weeks ago when it had it going on, there was a lot of excitement and buildup. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of excitement and buildup for different reasons tomorrow and today and tomorrow. Because with baseball, they had to move up because we were off the air when this happened. But the Razorback baseball series had to get moved up and changed a little bit because of the weather, or at least the forecast of bad weather. So they're going to have a doubleheader today.
Well, Sunday is just miserably cold, and playing on Sunday is just really not an option because of temperature as much as anything. I think the morning low is single digits, and just not conducive for baseball. So a doubleheader today, and then, like I said, they'll wrap the series tomorrow, and it gives them a little more flexibility if the forecast changes. But that's just college baseball in the early weeks of the season for you.
So what temperature is the threshold? Like what is the bare minimum of a temperature that you can play baseball in?
Mid-30s or so. I mean, at some point it gets so tough for the pitcher to grip the baseball and really have a good grip on it. So that'd be a good question for Scott Tabor a little bit later this morning. He's going to join us and talk about the baseball team playing Stony Brook. You know what they're famous for?
Making it to that College World Series run a few years ago?
And beating LSU along the way.
Yeah, I remember that. They're not the same team, I don't think.
No.
So. But yeah, that's when I saw him on the schedule.
We still celebrate a great postseason series victory over LSU. It's always anytime you beat LSU in baseball, that's a big deal.
An enemy of LSU is a friend of Arkansas.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's essentially what it's about. But yeah, we're going to talk about that because I was just always wondering that because you mentioned the forecast and the weather, and obviously, playing baseball is like. You can play football in the elements. I mean, it doesn't matter how cold it is or how hot it is. You can play football. But baseball, there are certain elements that you just can't play in. And I was always just curious about if it had to be to a certain temperature. It's like, okay, is it below freezing? That's where you can't play. Is it 40 degrees or lower? Is that when you can't play?
I don't know if there's an exact number. You know, it's not like we know water freezes it below 32, right?
I think I learned that in the third grade,
right? So I don't know that there's a magic number like that with baseball, but they're just I know that the big concern there comes a point where the pitcher's grip is just not cohesive to the conditions.
Yeah, so no, I understand.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for Tabor. He'll be along later in the show to talk some baseball. So.
Yeah, and also baseball's not one of those fun games to watch when it's really cold and nasty outside either. I'm not a fan.
It's why basketball can be the better of the sports at times from a weather standpoint.
You never have to worry about
unless
it.
Unless the roof is leaking, you don't get wet.
Nope.
You don't have to worry about the elements factoring into the game.
Nope.
Rarely do you see a weather delay in basketball.
The only thing I can remember is when the tornado hit in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. That was probably the only weather delay you ever had.
Yeah.
You can always make sure that you're going to be in pretty good conditions when you go to a basketball game. But, yeah, that may be something we have some fun with Tabor about, too. And because that's, we're like football here on the Morning Rush. No matter the conditions, we're doing a show.
Yeah.
I mean, now.
We got to work. Even when the mailman calls it in, we got to be
here. That's right. So. That's right. We're going to be here.
So, hey, get by. If you're in Hot Springs today, you're waking up this morning, come on over. We got a cup of coffee for you here. We'd just love to meet you. Say hello. Trader Bills, if you have not been in here, this is a big old store.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they got a lot of stuff in here. Fishing supplies, as you'd expect, and we're kind of getting into that time of the year. Hunting supplies, big gun counter back here. I mean, a little bit of everything for the outdoorsman here.
I got a big old boat that's right in front of us.
And we're going to be talking to some of the pro anglers here a little bit later on in the show. Philip Phillip's got a great looking store here. If you haven't been in Trader Bill's in a while, come by and say hello. And again, we're going to give away a Abu Garcia rod. It's a 100. Are you familiar with Abu Garcia?
I'm not too familiar with it, Tommy.
That's a top brand. That's a good one.
Yeah. So. Well, see, that's the thing is that in case you just are starting to listen to this show, you should know that Tommy is an avid fisherman. Tommy loves to fish,
particularly trout fish.
I haven't fished that much, to be honest. So
I got to take you fishing this summer. Sorry, Ty. I guess someone's got to run the board.
Somebody's got to run the board.
Yeah, show you how to do a little trout fishing.
Okay. Is it different from other fishing?
It's a little. I mean, all fishing's a little bit different. Whether you're going for bass or striper, I still just get my rod and toss it out there. Yes, but I mean, there's just the finer points of it.
Oh, okay.
See, yes.
I just
a spin casting rod. Now, you can get to the advanced levels like Clay Henry. I'm not as big into the fly fishing, but up at Gaston's, Clem wants us to come up and they've got a master fly fisherman there that gives, kind of an all day guided clinic, if you will. You fish and they teach you to fly fish. We may end up doing some of that this year. So that'd be a fun trip.
Yeah. Well, because the only thing I know about fly fishing is that it looks almost like a whip.
Yeah.
And you throw it out there I don't know how you catch fish with it. I just know you got to be in a thing of water that's like, I don't know much about it. I just know that.
Have you ever seen the movie A River Runs Through It?
No, I have not.
You won't look as good as Brad Pitt for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But, he was a pretty good fly fisherman in that movie. He won't be Brad Pitt in that movie. I hate to break it to you. But.
Are you talking about from the looks or just from his fishing expertise in that movie?
All of it.
Okay.
Both.
Probably not. So
all of it.
Yeah. I can at least aspire to be something like that. But no, that's the thing is that, when I go into a store like this, like Trader Bill's, and it's just amazing because, I admit I'm not the most outdoors person of all time, but it's just so cool coming into places like this and seeing all the options that they have. I mean, you talked about the size of it all. I mean, they got a downstairs, they got a little upstairs area, they got the bucks hanging on the wall, got a bunch of boats on display. I mean, they got it all if you're outdoorsman.
And they got a lot of clothes. I walked by a big rack of Razorback shirts on my way over here to where we're set up in the store. So, it's kind of a chilly, brisk morning out there in the 30s this morning. So if you need some gloves or a hat or whatever, come by and say hello. We'd love to say hi and meet you this morning.
Yeah, I'd love to have that smoker.
Yeah, that's
I'd be about that.
Here's your good. Yeah, it's a gas.
That's probably the only thing in this store I'd actually know what to do with. Is probably that smoker. Just to be honest, this is far more advanced than I even understand.
All right.
I mean, we'll go along with it.
We'll school you up over the next two hours and 45 minutes.
Huh. Do you know what all this stuff is? I mean, I assume you do.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Okay.
Most of it.
Okay.
I'm sure there's many items in here I haven't tried out before.
Is that a lion that's up there? Is that a lion?
No,
that looks like a lion, Tommy.
Well, it kind of does, doesn't it, from back here. There's a lot of stuffed animals in here. A lot of taxidermy work in here.
Yeah, well, if that's a lion, then they have my respect fully, then, if that's the case.
They've got towables for the lake up here.
Yeah, so they got that, too.
You want something to pull behind the boat this summer, they got that. So.
Do you ever do those?
Oh, yeah, I got one of those. Yeah.
But do you do it?
Well, I'm always driving the boat.
But or do you do it? Do you get back on the towables?
It would not bother me, but no one else in my family will drive the boat.
Or is it because you don't trust anyone else to drive the boat?
I have told my wife, and she refuses. I said, this is the summer you are going to learn to at least be serviceable behind the wheel of this boat. Be a real assistant captain. And she says no. I say yes. So she'll probably win because she wins most of the arguments in our house.
Happens.
But yeah,
Hey, Dylan's getting to he's 8 years old now, right?
Nine.
So, yeah, he's good. He's good to go.
I don't know that I need to be 60 feet behind the boat while a 9-year-old's in charge. Might be a better deal. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely tell that if you're in the towable, it'd probably be a lot more fun that way. So but that's for sure.
So we're gonna talk football, basketball, baseball. We'll also talk some horse racing.
That's right.
Morning. Pick Suey's going to be with us in the 8 a.m. hour. And another big weekend at Oakland coming up. So we got a lot of stuff.
I know.
A lot of ground to cover.
For Sports Talk Radio, these are always the fun times. It's because once it comes down into mid-June, is when it starts getting a little slow.
March and October, I think, are two good months, particularly for where we're at, because you have spring football for college teams. And now I guess we got some of this AAF and some of this stuff. I don't know how much we're going to talk about it. But it's two places in the calendar where the – where the sports converge. Mm-hmm. March Madness is so big. Baseball's starting, not just collegiately, but you know, we know that spring training's underway for the bigs, and so it's just a it's a fun time of the year.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
You got the NFL draft just around the corner. You know, not in March, but there's a lot of talk about it. So,
yeah, I mean, there's
combine, all these things going on.
Yeah, I mean, because it was the biggest day in NFL that you'll ever see yesterday, which of course was measuring day. So, I mean, that's
I thought you meant with Jason Witten coming.
Well,
I thought that was the big.
Well, that is. Yeah, that is. But I was talking about hand sizes and all that stuff. I mean, that's where you're going to know where you really can pick out your future of your NFL franchise.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So Arkansas basketball takes on Ole Miss tomorrow at Bud Walton Arena. The game will be at noon. I know a lot of people are making their way up to that game, but I don't think it's for the reasons that most people would be going to a Razorback basketball game, because as we've talked about basically throughout the past couple of weeks, Arkansas's chances of making it into the NCAA tournament are vanished, and even making it into the NIT is going to be tough at this point in time. But they are honoring tomorrow the national championship team from 1994, because it is the 25th year anniversary since that happened. And I know that there's going to be a lot of the former players and Nolan Richardson and all the honorings that are going to come along with it. I don't know exactly how the ceremony is going to be placed, but we know that they've done these honorings before, and we know that they've done these things before, but I guess this one's particularly special because it just is a reminder, 25 years ago, that's how long it's been, 25 years since Arkansas won that national championship. And honestly, I know that a lot of Razorback fans have fond memories of different things that have happened in Razorback sports and Razorback athletics, things that will always stick out to them. But I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find any true Razorback fan, especially a true Razorback basketball fan, find any other moment that even comes close to how proud and how excited and how just good they felt when Arkansas won that national championship in 1994 over Duke.
That is almost unbelievable. I mean, you know, because particularly I was not – I mean, that was the year I graduated high school, 1994. So you know, we're talking 25 years ago that I wasn't old enough to appreciate really what you were witnessing. Those older than me understood, particularly, you know, in my dad's generation, understood how special that was because it had eluded Arkansas a couple of times in football. I know they won the 64 national championship, but, you know, in the 60s, and we obviously know about the shootout in 60, there have been several opportunities where it had eluded Arkansas. In the late 70s in basketball with Eddie Sutton's teams, it eluded them there a championship. Arkansas had been to the Final Four in 90. But really wasn't considered a favorite. Had to play Duke. It's a young Arkansas team. People weren't surprised by it. But I don't think I understood at the age I was at, you know, being, you know, in high school, 18 years old, really how to enjoy and appreciate that moment. Because I think if it happened again today, I would have a different feeling and sentiment in the moment than I did then. I think I was like a lot of people. This is just the new norm here, you know. Because then, guess what? 1995, because you had 1990, 94, 95, three trips to the Final Four. It's just the way it's going to be, you know.
You saw it's going to be.
And you didn't appreciate that period of time. And I don't think Arkansas fans really understood how quickly it could all come apart. I didn't have the perspective on it at that point in my life.
Well, and it's the same thing that goes along with it, because you mentioned how you had gone to the Final Four just a few years prior.
Yep.
But you're talking about, like, two decades before that of not national championship contending every year, but just a team that was always a top 25 team, a team that was always winning Southwest Conference championships, a team that was always going to be in the mix for something greater. And I know that they only made the Final Four in 78. And that was the only Final Four they made up until they made it back into 1990. What's that?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I thought they made two Final Fours there with Eddie Sutton, but
no, I believe it was only just one. So, but okay. Yeah, but it was a long period of time. But you were always competing. You always had great players too. I mean, you think about some of the players that you had, some of the moments you had. You had the U.S. Reed shot in the NCAA tournament. Yep. I mean, those were the things that a lot of people remembered. So not only was that the new norm, but you had gone for decades of being a nationally relevant basketball program. And that's the thing that I always relate back, because I was just a kid when they won the national championship. I remember bits and pieces of that. I remember my first game as a Razorback fan going to in Bud Walton Arena in 93 when Delaware State and Al Dillard hit 12 three-pointers. I remember that was my first game. And, you know, I hear those things. And it's just like, and you think back over to when, like, all that was going on, and just like you said, Tommy, you never think it's going to end. You never think that this, like, right now, for instance, does it, you ever feel like Arkansas baseball is never going to be relevant again?
No.
Do you have that feeling that's never going
to
happen?
And that's a great point. You need to really soak up and enjoy.
Yes.
Because when did Norm DeBrine get there? Like, I should know this, but like 1972, I believe, was the year.
In the 70s, yeah.
But he more or less started the program. I mean, it was like a club sport, just above a club sport. And you had Norm DeBrine and Dave Van Horn. That's it.
That's all you got.
I mean,
1970, by the way.
1970, okay. So from 1970 to current day, you've had two coaches in that program. We talk about Arkansas basketball being, the heydays. The heydays were always with Nolan and Eddie Sutton, mm-hmm. Hall of Fame coaches. You know, there's no doubt. I mean, I know Dave got put in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame a few weeks ago, but this guy's a college baseball Hall of Fame, and, you know, he's going to go down as one of the great coaches of his time.
Yep.
when you put a bow on his career, whenever that is. So, I mean, that's been the difference. Every sport Arkansas's ever excelled at, it's been a great leader, a great coach that's ran the program for a number of years, not just, you know, in real quick. I mean, how many times has Arkansas won anything where the coach was there for 2 or 3 or 4 years and moved on?
Not very often.
All the success came with a coach that stayed a while.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how besides Eddie Sutton, who, you know, the whole infamous crawled to Lexington for that job.
But he still was here a while.
Yeah, you know. And that's the thing, is that usually those great coaches that Arkansas has, either they stay as long as they're needed or they end up phasing out or retiring or whatnot. So, I mean, that's the thing I always try to make points, because everyone outside of Arkansas mainly, but there's even people at Arkansas that think that the program in general is just a stepping stone program, that say if Chad Morris really got it going, really got Arkansas competing at a high level, there are fans out there who say, well, you know, it doesn't matter because if that A&M job or whatever opened up, he'd go there in a heartbeat. Well, I don't necessarily know about that. You know, were there so many coaches? Like, Nolan Richardson always brings this up. He's like, I'm probably the only coach in the history of sports to get fired and not leave. He didn't leave. He didn't take another job. He could have. But he didn't.
Well, I mean, not just not leave. He's never left the area.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, he stayed in Fayetteville. You know,
okay. But he also coached that WNBA team.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, whatever. But he's Fayetteville became home to him, and has always been home to him.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. So that was the thing, and that's where it's like you said, Tommy. You got to really, for instance, with the baseball program, take it in and appreciate it, because as we have seen with basketball, it can be gone in a few years, and into where you're constantly yearning for the days of when will it get back to this? Why is it not getting back to this? What's the problem here? And then it seems so far away that it's disappointing and upsetting.
If I'd have told you in the summer of 96, hey, that Final Four a couple months ago, you're not going to see another one for, I mean, I don't know how many more years it's going to be. 25 years, whatever it ends up being. It's 22 right now, obviously. But, you know, it's just, you got to appreciate success.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, like you bring up a great point that, hey, with this baseball team, soak it up right now.
Yep.
And I know they haven't won a national championship. They were one fly ball away from, we all know that. But we've seen a great run here under Dave Van Horn.
I mean, would you say Arkansas baseball is a top what program in college baseball? Top 10 at least?
Oh, yeah.
Top 5?
Perhaps. I mean,
they don't have the title to go along with it. That's the only thing they're missing.
I'm probably not the best person to ask. I mean, we're five. I mean, the SEC is so good.
Yeah.
You could be a top 5 program nationally and not be a top 3. You'd be third in the SEC. That's the problem, because LSU's going to be up there in the conversation. But you got
South
programs,
Carolina,
you know, you got programs out in the Pac-12 we're not as familiar with. The ACC plays some really good baseball. That's a good question. But Arkansas is certainly in the conversation. But the one thing that's missing
is the title.
It's the title.
Yeah, because even think like Oregon State. They have a few titles to their name, but you would never think just first off Oregon State being one of the top programs.
If you put a lot of weight on facility, that really carries Arkansas way up in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the total, not just Bomb Walker Stadium.
See, I got it right.
There you go.
Not just the stadium, but it's the indoor workout. It's the whole package. And then you wait till they build this new complex out in right field that's coming. And then, it's becoming an arms race in baseball for facilities, just like it is in football.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing is that if you're at a place like Arkansas, everyone is Arkansas fans. Everybody wants the program to do well. Everybody wants all that. But when you have something like the baseball program and the way that they got it going on, it just makes you really, first off, appreciate Dave Van Horn and what he's been able to do and how he's been able to sustain some of that success. But I'm just, the way that, like, Baum Walker Stadium and how it's been built up and how it has it's one of the best facilities and it's one of the bigger baseball facilities that there are in the country. You know, people thought the same thing about when Bud Walton was built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had this wonderful facility, state-of-the-art facility, and it's still aged very well. It's still a great facility to watch basketball.
Yeah.
But there's nowhere near the attendance, the atmosphere that came along with it that it was back then. And that's the last thing, because those were just the things you think about with Baum Stadium. Like, could you imagine Baum Stadium against an SEC team on a Saturday against LSU or something, not having 10,000 people in it? But it could happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, winning is still the best. Why do people show up? Because it's a winning program.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt with basketball. Now, there'll be a big crowd tomorrow because of all the other things going on around this game, honoring what we're talking about here, championships, and appreciating the moment. Fans will show up to relive and appreciate that moment. But I have no doubt if Arkansas re-earned the fan base's trust, started winning consistently again, Bud Walton Arena would be full.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. Fans want to go to Bud Walton and see the Bud rocking again.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any better home court edge in the conference and perhaps in the country. I know you got the Cameron crazies, but when Bud Walton is at its best, it's as good as any place in America.
And the record shows that. I mean, even in their down years,
and
they had a great record.
The only reason it's not that way now is the program hadn't done their part.
Yeah.
You can't expect fans to show up to a team that's losing games at home at a higher rate than we've seen in a long time. So,
it would
really be a bummer, be a real downer if they lost to Ole Miss on a day that's going to be so special tomorrow.
Well, the first time they honored the championship team in 2008 was when Arkansas was about 1-13 or whatever it was in conference play. They beat Georgia. So
big crowd too there.
That was one of their two SEC wins that year. Yeah. So you're hoping that maybe they can at least capture that magic so you won't have to worry about that.
And I know we got to run here, but can you imagine tonight and tomorrow when that team, that 94-95 team gets in front of the current team? You know there's going to be a moment where they're going to give them a speech, give them a locker room speech. Maybe we'll get a glimpse of that on Twitter. Today with social media, we get a chance to see some of that stuff more so than ever before. That's going to be probably a pretty hair-raising moment.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Corey Beck has to say.
Well, we might want to edit that before we play any of it.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Arkansas's own Scott Suggs with us now. Professional fisherman on the FLW Tour, Major League Fishing. Are you on FLW still or just Major League Fishing?
Just Major League Fishing.
Okay, I was looking here. You won, nearly $2 million in career earnings?
At FLW.
At FLW. I'm looking at your FLW profile here online. And, obviously a very successful career. And thanks for stopping by here with us and visiting this morning. This is a great state with a lot of opportunities and a lot of options. We were talking earlier with Philip about, you just think about the lakes right here around Hot Springs, but then you think about the other parts of the state, whether it's Millwood down south or Bull Shoals or Norfolk, Table Rock that kind of straddles the Arkansas-Missouri line, Beaver. This state that we're in is really blessed with some great fishing.
That's exactly why over the years that it's put out so many great fishermen that go to the next level, to the professional level. There's nothing in the state of Arkansas it just makes you more versatile. You can go from deep, clear water, shallow water, muddy water, Arkansas River, Millwood, just like you said, name all these places off. And over the years, you learn how to fish all these bodies of water. You can go anywhere in the nation and fish and compete against anybody. It's just always put out some of the best, you know, top anglers in the nation.
All right, so I don't know much about fishing. No, we've established.
He's overstating.
Yes, he knows nothing about fishing. But it's okay, though, because I have people helping
me
out.
He was trying to cast the reel earlier. He had the wrong end of the rod trying to cast the reel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, so it was that bad.
I'm
an open book when I'm coming to learning. So people have been helping me out of some things that they have been curious about, and this comes from Cody. He's interested in, to know how you like the new tour that you're doing with Major League Fishing.
Well, you know, it's something that's different. This sport needed it at this time, you know, for a new deal to come along like this and everything. And it was called the Groove Tour. FLW, Bass, we'd kind of fell in a groove, been in it for, especially Bass, 50 years and stuff. And now this is something that mixed it all up, changed it all up. And it really gives us an opportunity to promote sponsors and get that part of our job back into it, where before, you know, it was like, the market was flooded. You couldn't really promote your sponsors the way you needed to, and now we're back to where we can do that.
I remember the first time that as a radio show and a station that we really kind of got involved in anything was back in 2007, and the Forest Wood Cup was down here on Lake Washita. And I really didn't know much about it, but they had the convention center in Hot Springs just full of all kinds of exhibits. It's a great family deal. And they said, hey, you really need to go to this weigh-in on Saturday. They had it in what's now Bank OZK Arena. And it was a made-for-TV deal, and it was unbelievable. I mean, my eyes were open to the popularity of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, that arena holds 6,000-7,000 people, and it was full.
No, it held 14.
I don't remember how they had it set up. I mean, I just know how it's set up for basketball. It holds 7,000 or 8,000 people. It was full that day. Who was the guy that won that day in 07?
I can't remember.
I think his name was Scott Suggs, wasn't it?
It was a great day.
Yeah.
It was a great day.
Tell us about that experience and then also doing it here in your own backyard.
That was the whole deal. You know, I mean, doing it right here, being able to do something and accomplish something for the first time in history to win a pot of money that big in one event. And to be able to do it right here at home and share it with everybody. And as far as the excitement of it and everything, and there's
not the money, just the excitement.
Oh yeah, the money. My wife, the last time I saw the check, she had it, which is expected.
Exactly.
I'll never forget. She got up the next morning. She couldn't wait. She was ready to get to the bank. She was just dying to see their eye when she gets to the bank. You know, their eyes pop open with a check that big. And she was so disappointed because when she pulled up, they go, oh, we were expecting you.
Yeah.
And so that kind of lost a little bit of her excitement.
Yeah. Scott, when you just go out, I mean, you obviously fish professionally, and mm-hmm. you have to work just like a golfer, just like a baseball player, just like anybody else. You got to work at your craft. You got to go out and practice fish. But do you ever just go fish for fun?
I do.
What kind of fish? I mean, is it bass fishing that you enjoy the most, or when you want to do something different? You know, around here, what do you do just to enjoy fishing when it's not just work?
I crappie fish during the spring a lot. I brim fish during the beginning of the summer and through part of the summer, and then a walleye through the late summer and early fall.
There's no better eating than walleye.
No.
I still
like a good bluegill, but yeah. Everybody else in my family likes the walleye.
Yeah.
So
they're good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the walleye. what is walleye? I don't even know.
It's a kind of fish.
Okay.
Very popular, mainly what up north. I mean, very very popular, like in the Dakotas.
Oh, yeah.
Around the Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
But you'll find them in some of our lakes. I know in Norfolk. I fish on the Norfolk River a lot. When they open the dams, right now the floodgates are open a little bit. There will be walleye in the Norfolk River,
mm-hmm.
and it happens on the White River below mm-hmm. the Bull Shoals Dam too, where those fish will come through the gates.
That's right.
And they'll get down on that river. And the thing with the walleye, we're getting too deep in it. They got these translucent eyes, like mm-hmm. snake eyes. You can see them down in the water.
You can shine a light on them at night, and they'll light up like a deer's eyes.
Yeah.
But Washita is probably
good eating too.
Washita is probably one of the most overlooked, best walleye lakes, and especially in the state of Arkansas, maybe most of the nation.
Yeah. And another fun thing, striper fishing in this state. I mean, mm-hmm. usually like a good fight with a fish.
Right
striper,
out here.
Striper fishing out here in Wichita is pretty good.
It is. Lake Hamilton and Wichita Bow.
Yeah. All right, Scott. What's a weed bed?
Well, there's certain types of weed beds. But out here on the lake, lake, we all
told
grew
you
up.
I'm getting basic here.
We all grew up. All the guys called it coontail. It was really a grass called Elodea. And then that got smothered away, and we've got hydrilla, and we have milfoil and certain types of coontail. But it's grass beds that'll be out on like a hump, out just say a hump out in the lake, comes up to, say, 15 foot. The top of that hump may be covered in grass, and it'd be a big weed bed on that hump. You know, you're targeting that weed bed. It's underwater vegetation, really allows a lot more oxygen. Great area for panfish and everything else. Great area for the bass to feed. And it just makes the lake so much more fertile, makes it more, I mean, the population just goes crazy of fish when you have good, like, you know, good grass in the lake.
I feel fairly confident that John probably has not watched any Major League Fishing on TV, but I have watched some, not a lot. One of the things they have in a boat, John, is they have the angler, and then they have an official or a referee, just like
That's
you
right.
would in any other sport. And there are certain rules in Major League Fishing that are specific to that sport. Give us some example, like the fish, you cannot use a net, and you got to get the fish in the boat. And
you got to get the
and
fish
there's certain
in the
times,
boat.
And we take a lot of calls where people, let's just say, question the judgment of certain officials in basketball and football. Is there ever a time in Major League Fishing where the angler, and because you're in a boat, it's not like you can get away from this guy. Is there ever times where your peers out there and the referee that's in the boat with you that you get at odds over a ruling?
Well, there's times that you want to get at odds over a ruling, but here's the difference. In a ball game, basketball or whatever, there's a timeout.
Yep.
You know, the clock stops while
right.
the official, you and him or whatever goes down. In this deal, the longer you argue is the more time you're losing because the clock never stops.
But one of the things they can do is give you a timeout where you can't fish for
yeah,
so long,
and
right?
That's the
I've
deal.
Seen this. I've just watched a few episodes of this, and I think it's interesting.
That's the deal where if the fish hits the carpet,
right.
touches any part of something to knock that slime coat off of him, and if it's not intentional, it's a two-minute penalty. It's a flagrant if you swing him in just and make him bounce to the carpet because you're trying to hurry up and get him in and land him, then you're going to sit a lot longer.
That's an F1.
You know. That's right.
They got to go to the monitor.
That's right.
Review.
And even if that happened, I'm sure Tommy would still defend the officials.
That's exactly right.
The call. So
exactly
he would still find a way to defend the officials. Yeah.
That's the other thing about Major League that this has really gone so crazy over is you never put the fish in your live well. You never haul the fish around. You catch the fish. You weigh it right there. You release it right back right there. There's no harm to the fish whatsoever and taking care of the resources and everything. And that's really brought the popularity on more probably than anything.
I hear more people talk about that, and I've got a lot of friends that are, you know, just hardcore about it. And Major League Fishing seems to be where they're grabbing. The television watch on this is just more entertaining.
Yeah, it is. And they're able to be in the boat with you and all that at all times and everything. But, you know, still the days of old, though, the days of us catching our five fish limits and fishing our local tournaments and everything, hey, that's the backbone that put everything there. And it's not going anywhere. I hope that stay. I don't want that to ever decline in any way. I want it to always be super duper strong because it just builds everything towards where we're at.
Favorite lake in Arkansas?
Lake Wichita.
Good answer. Good hometown answer.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you about the biggest fish you caught because that's too easy. What was the best fish you caught? Because I feel like there might be a difference between the biggest and the best.
Man, that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up. I mean, I caught a 5-pounder here when I won the cup the last day that really iced the cake for me up here, but also won a major league event. I won the major league cup, too, and I caught a 5-pounder, you know, late in the game on that deal that sealed that deal. So I'm going to say 5-pounders. How about that?
That works for me. All right. Scott Suggs with us here on the Morning Rush. We're live at Trader Bills. A lot of folks listening, they're going to be thinking about getting their tackle box back out, getting their rods and reels back out. Give us
it's
a few
terrible.
Tips and tell them what they might, something new that's here at Trader Bills they might want to check out for this year.
Man, Trader Bills has so much new stuff. It's amazing. We've got all kinds of Berkeley stuff. They've got all kinds of stuff here. The new, they've got the new Plus 2, mega bass is here. They've got, it's amazing, really and truly, to tell you the truth. You need to just come and walk through, because Phillip's got this place stocked. He's got stuff that I hadn't seen in, you know, in a lot of other stores, and I'm out there seeing all kinds of stuff, and you just really and truly need to come and walk through and see what all he's got, because I can promise you, you need to get a basket when you walk in, because there's plenty to choose from.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.